He said he was probably walking.
He forgot he had item 8. Yeah, just for some reason, I'm aware enough that I followed the first any credit risk down in the D category. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot of money.
But maybe that's trickled down.
Did it start it higher?
No. Or the meaning, oh, I'll talk about later.
Oh, okay. You were out taking a victory lap, and now you're back.
We were taking a last-minute auditor discussion, discussing progress of GASB 68, which is another deliverable I have to do, but we want to keep the momentum going. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Long time no see. We have one more presentation. And this is a document that gets inserted as part of the CAFR, and this is our budget to actual expenditure update. So what this is an update of the 2016 fiscal year of our budget. And as you recall, we prepare our budget in two parts. It is a total administrative total proposed budget for CSERA, and it's two sections. It's administrative expenses and non-administrative expenses. The administrative are the executive, HR administration, accounting, compliance, information IT, benefits and member services departments. There's, by CSERA law, there's a ceiling amount that can be charged for administrative expenses. It's 21 basis points of your most recent actuarial accrued liability value. At the time of this document was printed, our most current one was through December 31st, 2015. The actual accrued liability was $8.4 billion, and it results in a limit of approximately $17.7 million. So that's the legal limit of what your administrative expenses can go. And our actuals was 9.3, so it's well under the limit. But the report itself is broken down into total CSERA, total admin, and total non-admin. Total CSERA is page 1 and 2. And it's further broken down in page 3 and 4 for the administrative piece of it. And the last page is the non-administrative. Non-administrative is the investments, legal, and the disaster recovery expenses that we spend on. So with that, just quickly going down, I'm going to return back to page 1 where it gives a summary. The first expenditures are salaries and benefits, which is a very important number. That's the staff and personnel that runs the organization. We are under budget there by 3% according to the actuals. But when you look at the line items, there's a couple of parentheses items, and I want to touch on those. One is the temporary staff. We had some staff on board, as you heard earlier during the year. There was we had to rely on outside temporary help in the accounting area. There was a temporary accounting manager for a few months. There were some temporary accountants. There was some temporary help in legal and in compliance. And so those positions have been phased out, me coming on board. But some of the expenditures were still rolling forward, and that's why the expenditure actual is a little bit higher than the budget. That's the $157,000 bracketed figure that you have there. Underneath that, the OPEB retiree health is an item that we've talked about before, and that one is in a bracketed item, but there's a couple of things going on there. There's two expenditures. One is the actual OPEB accrued expense to put aside money for the liability, which is about $232,000 for the year. The second is actual health premiums that we pay for retirees. Folks have retired from the system, and part of their agreed upon benefit is the agency credits them with approximately, where is Christina? Christina, it's roughly about $1,500 a month for retiree health, something like that?
$1,500 a month.
For all of them. For the retirees in the neighborhood?
$15,000.
$15,000 a month.
Yes.
Totaling $195,000 for the year. So those two expenditures is what's inside the actuals.
So on the OPEB, that's just a paper expense. We haven't set up a trust yet, have we?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. There's other discussions about what we're going to do with the OPEB liability, but I wanted to refer that inside that line item, it says one line, but there's two types of cost occurring in there. As Todd pointed out, the liability piece and actually the pay-as-you-go piece for the actual retirees.
So on the estimate, like the first item you mentioned, which was temp staff versus permanent, I mean, it looked to me like the budget was anticipating permanence. We didn't get there because the actual is much lower, right? Mm-hmm. Almost 600,000 lower. So the temp thing, I mean, seems to have come out in that. I couldn't figure out on the OPEB, though, how we got to the budget number 163 and then had the variant. In other words, how did we arrive that it was going to be 163 for budgeting purposes and then have it be realistically so much different?
And looking back, honestly, what happened is that the OPEB liability didn't make it to the budget. That 163 was our best guess of what this retiree health piece was about.
15 a month.
Okay.
The actual payments was the 163. Right. Okay. So the 250 or so,
right.
the paper entry wasn't budgeted before.
The paper entry wasn't budgeted. We were still in the review process at the time the 2016 budget was prepared. It was mixed. And so this is a case where it didn't make it to the budget. It's not like, well, we went way over budget. It's
right.
Like, you know, part of the budget versus actual process is find out which number is the legitimate, reasonable number.
So in the 2017 budget, then that number is probably 426.
Absolutely. The next time we visit around, you're going to see that. There you go.
Yeah, what I'm concerned about is that this item of PAYGO has come up before, and it's probably a couple of years. And so where do we stand on setting up the trust for this? Because I'd hate to have it continue to be a conversation where we just continue to carry this forward. The county got itself into a lot of situation, and the county, to their credit, has done some tremendous work in trying to whittle down that or make sure it's at least covered with a trust fund. And I think we need to make sure this doesn't just get continued from year to year.
Yeah, so a couple things on that. One, I do have Milliman information around what, if we were to pre-fund, what that would look like. The one thing I'm working on now is researching, because there's some different vehicles that we could do with the trust dollars. And so once I have that a little bit more firm, I'm anticipating that coming back to the board in the next few months. If the board so chooses to go down that route, it would possibly be included in the 2018 budget.
So you can see this, I mean, you see this coming to a head this year.
Yes.
So that we do have
Absolutely.
An action item this year.
Yeah.
Okay, too. Establish a trust fund.
Yeah.
Okay.
So these set asides, are they being tracked already on a separate line item? So I mean, obviously you set aside $232,000
mm-hmm.
this year.
Mm-hmm.
Have you set aside any other?
We haven't set aside
First
any
time.
Additional funds. We haven't budgeted for any possible pre-funding for the 17 budget. Yeah.
So the 17 budget discussion, just to give a little advanced preview, we're planning for the next discussion on it towards the end of July. We'll give a mid-year update similar to what we have in the past, and we'll talk about how the 17 budget is looking and how it's traveling forward. And these issues will iron out as items are, what's in the budget, what made it through there, what is missing.
Henry, assuming we set up a separate OPEB fund,
mm-hmm.
and I realize that at least the IRS requirements on that have traditionally been less than clear and difficult to deal with. It's not like pension funding in terms of the rules. But the concept is that we would come up with a normal cost, this year's expense, and an amortization of whatever liability we have, which is at this point unfunded. And the sum of those two gets contributed into our separate fund, and the $15,000 a month is paid out of that separate fund.
Correct.
So we would go from a all paper
a concept where we're accruing a liability to actually setting money aside. And I think everybody agrees actually setting money aside is a preferred way to do this.
Absolutely.
That's the direction we're going in.
Yeah. And that's what we're looking at.
Right.
That's the type of accounting that we would have. Yeah.
Good.
And I'm hearing we'll have an opportunity to take a look at a real proposal prior to the end of this year.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Harvey?
Across the counties, I've seen three different models be used. One is a 401H account in the pension trust.
Yeah.
One is an employer 115 account, which is administered for the employer by the retirement system. And the other one, which is sort of coming into vogue now, is a VEBA account, a voluntary employee benefit.
VEBA is what I was thinking of.
Account, which is set up by the employer, in this case, the SARA, and allows voluntary contributions and separate accounts to be maintained, much like a 401A account, but for health care, and it's portable. Mm-hmm. So I've seen all three set up.
Mm-hmm.
That
there's a lot of discussion, and I don't want to, you know, get into the whole OPEB report, but you know, the assumed rate also goes into play. There's a much preferable assumed investment rate that's going to help, you know, with these calculations. Policy that we agreed to, the annual required contribution, as you pointed out, John. So all those go into play. So this is just bare minimum what we're doing here, and this was left over from the 2016 year. But we'll see the in different numbers in the 2017 budget. However, that'll be before any discussion on what we're going to do with the
structure.
With the trust.
Right,
right, right. Okay, traveling on down, and so the makeup of the lines. This is also, we were talking about meeting, getting feedback with other agencies, and I rolled up in general categories of where the expenditures reside without having to go into each and every line, but at least I wanted to put where some of our big areas are. And they fall in the areas of training and education for the board and staff, professional services. We all use auditors, actuaries, attorneys. We have our typical office expenditures. It's the next section. Insurance, that's important. I categorize member and benefit services as particular expenses that are larger that relate just to our members, and so I categorize those type of expenses. And lastly, what we spend in our IT systems. So that's the general roll-up of what we do and how this was broken down. So it might be a little different of other audit reports you've seen or expense reports you've seen in the past. So going back to the top, the training and education, everything in our budget was pretty well estimated. We were under in categories. I'd like to point out the bracketed items because those are the most important ones that look in our professional memberships. And we didn't include a number of memberships that we believe, you know, we should be a part of. So that's why that number appears to be over budget, but it's simply a case of where we needed to put more memberships that we want to be part of in the budget, and it wasn't done on the 2000s. Things like the Council of Institutional Investors, the Institutional Limited Partnerships Association, for our board, the Foundation of Employee Benefit Plans, which our board's a member of, the National Conference of Public Employees Retirement System. So there's a number of important associations we want to be part of. A new one this year was about $3,000 is NASRA, National Association of State Retirement Administrators. Gail attended their conference, and we just paid the next membership. So in the next budget, there'll be a figure that's more appropriately towards the actuals. This is one of those cases where the actuals is really more meaningful than what's inside the budget.
Do we pay our SACRS members?
Sure did.
It was an advance.
There's an auto debit on that one. That's right.
We pay that one before we even get the invoice.
Nice.
That's first on the list. Moving on down to our professional services. This is our audit, our board election, outside legal and consultants. You know, our audit was a little higher. We had expenditure in our budget where we thought we were going to spend more for these pronouncements that you heard of, the GASB 67, 68. They are more expensive, but we were able to get them under budget and, you know, compliment on that. Our board election, we assumed we were going to have two. That's why you see about twice the amount. That's why it's under budget. Our outside legal counsel services, this is an important item, and we spoke about this at the mid-year update, and it's simply a case of our outside legal didn't make it to budget in prior years, and this is just a technical correction. The actuals are not over budget by any means. It just means that the last presentation to the board on the budget was missing that piece of it. So when the 2017 budget rolls around, you won't see this issue. It's not a disparity. But I just want to address it because it's one of the, you know, it's a big bracketed item. Okay?
Henry, where are the actuaries in this? If they're $6,800, we are getting one heck of a bargain.
Actuarial expenses aren't included.
Actually, are not included.
No.
Yeah, actuary expenses, they come straight off the top of plan assets. They're not considered the administrative type expenses.
Okay.
Because it's part of the sort of law. It's like you pay for investment fees, you pay for management fees, and you pay for the actuaries right off the bat. So they're a mandatory expense, if you will.
Okay. And we have been talking about...
But they're not within the administrative expenses that are subject to the administrative
cost in this role. Spoken better, more eloquently than I. Thank
and
you.
We are looking at, because something that we haven't had a report on in the past has been, okay, how much are we spending for, you know, Varis, our investment consultant, how much are we paying Siegel? And we've had some discussions about including a separate report where we would include those items.
And we plan to, on the next update, to include those costs. Even though they don't make it to a budget, I think it's important to discuss are we paying for these folks.
I think everybody would want to know those numbers.
I agree.
Absolutely.
There'd be a memo in the end of the...
It's a separate table,
yep.
You know, separate discussion. Absolutely, that's part of it.
Good.
Let's see. Any questions so far? I'm going to move along, unless anything. The office expenditures, everything's straightforward. I do want to point out a couple. The second line item, telephone and internet, it looks like we have this savings there. We are anticipating a lot of expense during that year for website hosting, a lot of expenditures there. We had them in our budget. They didn't occur. There's some planned for in the next year, but that's why that looks a little like it's under budget. Printing, same thing with printing and postage. It looks like there's a big old savings there. We were planning on a lot of expenditures for newsletters, but we got them in under budget, and we were able to get them for a lot less of the price. Office supplies and maintenance. I do want to not skip that $10,000 over budget condition there. We were actually right on target, but there was something new. As you recall, we had to hire the services of the Concord Police Department to come in, you know, for a few hours to keep an eye on things, and that bill was there, and that was about a little over $8,000, and that's what contributed to some of that 10 there. Let's see. Recruitment. As you know, during the year, we're busy looking for a deputy CEO and a deputy attorney, and we were hiring a consulting agency by the name of Alliance. That's why our recruitment costs were over budget. We assumed we were going to get it done with $4,000.
Is it uncommon or common to have recruitment in the office expenditures?
I've not seen it before.
The recruitment is part of the office expenditures.
That's where I categorize it. You know, it's an outside agency. It probably could be in the professional services, you know, line item. I group these as I saw another agency where they stuck them in there, but maybe in our case because we had so much more than what was budgeted. But that's cool. We can put it in another.
Is that a recurring line item? Maybe going to have recruitment.
Move it as a professional service. You know, it's a consulting company who helps assist us in the selection, the interview, and the recruitment process. So it's not an internal office expense. I see where Gabe's point is going in there. It's not like office supplies or anything like that.
It's like the placing of advertisements in different publications and that.
Yeah, I get the word.
And right. Usually we only use a recruiter, an outside consultant for that, for the higher level position. So usually that's not a, you know, large dollar amount that's
in there. Normally that's a separate item either. It would be under consultants, perhaps.
You know, I think, I mean, I'd have to look back,
outside professional
but I think services. We may have actually listed that separately in the past as well. Do you have any other questions on the statements?
The insurance, we purchased some cyber network insurance. There's some professional liability. You'll notice that's why the property and liability, you know, explained that. And that was done during the year. Let's see.
We just
member
want to
services
know that our,
is on board.
We just need to know that our E&O coverage is paid, that's all.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're good there.
And then moving over to the next page, IT systems. Basically, in a general statement, our IT systems are under budget, and simply because there was a lot of plan for disaster recovery projects for VMware, disk-to-disk backup servers that were planned for, but they didn't make it to that year. They're planned for in the 2017 year. And the reason for that is because we were focused on making sure that our departure from the county, all the electronic connection, all the internet, bandwidth, and all that, San Lu can speak to that if there's any questions, but there was a lot of detailed review to make sure that our separation wasn't just on paper, but electronically as well. Yeah. And that took a priority.
And is that going to go away in the next budget?
Yes. Yes, so we'll see more of that. The next pages is really summary of the same, but the conclusions are the same. So if there's any big questions, I can certainly address. I think that's what it is. Okay. With that?
Easy to read, nicely done.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. As long as it makes sense, then it's good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank Henry. Henry just wrapped up his first year at Sisera in May. And he's taken on a number of things on his plate, and I think he's performed very admirably. So I wanted to thank him.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you both.